Hello, I'm Sam, and this is Pilgrim Pit Stop. It's a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. And there's a new episode every other Friday. So I would really love it if you hit subscribe and tell your friends about it as well, if you enjoy what you hear. Here's a little clip of what's coming up today.
Walk into any Norwegian home at Christmas, the tree will be in the middle of the room. That's very much a thing, singing, moving around the Christmas tree.
All right, let's go.
Grønne, glitrende tre, god dag. Velkommen du som vi ser så gjerne, med julelys og med norske flagg, og høyt i toppen den blanke stjerne. Ja, den skal skinne, for den skal minne. Ja, den skal skinne, for den skal minne oss om vår Gud, oss om vår Gud.
That's the voice of my mum. She is half Norwegian, and in today's episode, I have a conversation with her about what Christmas is like in Norway. We talk about Norwegian traditions and carols and food and all sorts of other fun things. And we also talk a bit about spirituality and religion in Norway. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. It's a conversation we recorded on the 5th of December 2020 whilst Mum was making the Advent wreath for Christmas. So here we go.
One of my favourite, if not my favourite, carol that we always used to sing growing up in our family. My mum was Norwegian, and a very Norwegian tradition is to stand the Christmas tree right in the middle of the room, which is absolutely unheard of in Britain, because you actually dance around, well, dance sounds a bit dramatic, but you walk around the tree holding hands, singing carols, and that's quite beautiful, but it's quite bizarre if you've never come across it. So you walk into any Norwegian home at Christmas, the tree will be in the middle of the room, or certainly always used to be. I'm not sure if modern families might have changed that, but that's very much a thing, singing, moving around the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So that carol is one that I've been singing since the year dot with my mom and my sister and my dad, and it's all about the beautiful glittering Christmas tree that we welcome into our homes at this time of year. So the words, if I translate them, du grønne glitrende tre, god dag, you green glittering tree. Velkommen du som vi ser så gjerne. Welcome, we're really pleased to see you. This is a very bad translation.
No,
it's
good.
Med julelys og med norske flagg, with Christmas lights and with Norwegian flags. I'll talk about the flags in a bit. Med julelys og med norske flagg, og høyt i toppen den blanke stjerne, and high in the top that shining star. Ja, den skal skinne, for den skal minne. Yes, that's going to shine, and it's going to remind us. And then that repeats. Yes, that's going to shine, and that's going to remind us of our God, of our God. So that's sort of the stresses on the star at the top.
Right, right.
Reminding us of God. But it's all about this beautiful, glittering Christmas tree. Again, a big thing in Norway is to hang garlands of Norwegian flags sort of coming from the top and hanging right down the tree. Again, that's quite unusual. I've never seen that in Britain. but it's a tradition that Mum kept in our home. Little garlands of paper flags, probably about 2 inches, you know, a little rectangle, and they would hang all the way down. You probably remember.
Yeah, I do remember.
Remember going to Granny and Grandpa's and seeing that on the tree there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's a beautiful carol, really.
And is that a carol that a lot of people will know in Norway?
Oh, very popular. Yeah, it's still very much sung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the, do many people in Norway call themselves Christians, do you think? Or is that sung more as just a kind of welcoming of the light of Christmas? And...
Yeah. A lot of people would sing that anyway. I don't think a huge number of Christians today or people in Norway would say that they are Christian.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a low number that actually attend church now. A lot of people would say they really don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
Very much like here, really. But I don't know the actual percentage.
Sure.
But in Norway, as in lots of Scandinavia, the coming of Christmas and light is a huge deal. If you imagine living in a country where it's dark for so much of the winter, especially in North Norway, if you go right up to Tromsø or somewhere, you have literally no daylight. I mean, you might have a little glimmer around 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. But they go about their duties, they go to school, they go to work, it's pitch black. And even far down south, you know, you've got light from about probably 9:30, 10 a.m. till 2:30. So it's a very, very dark winter. So this Advent and Christmas is longed for because it's the coming of light into their worlds. And obviously for Christians, that's the light of God. But for everybody, it's just filling the home with light.
Yeah.
And then looking forward to shorter, you know, longer days.
Sure.
As you head into sort of January and spring.
Fascinating. Well, do you want to explain to the listeners kind of where we are and what we're doing today? And I'll get the coffee.
Okay.
Brewed, I think.
So we're in our kitchen in Bristol. We just moved here this summer. And Samuel's asked me actually to make an Advent wreath, which is something I do every year. I used to watch my mum do it. And it's just a lovely tradition that I picked up. You can buy them in the shops. I know they're for sale. They're pretty expensive, to be honest. They're very easy to make. You've just got to be prepared to sort of go gathering bits in the woods and collect bits and pieces and bring them in. And they're probably not as clean as the stuff a florist would get. But, yeah, it's a very simple thing. We've always done it. As soon as I got married and we had our own home, I also developed this tradition. It just makes me feel close to home, close to God. It's a lovely thing to do, to sort of focus, you know, carefully on Advent, put some time aside. The Advent wreath, I mean, there are a lot of traditions around it. We think the actual origins are uncertain, but there is evidence of pre-Christian Germanic people using it, but certainly by the Middle Ages it was a thing. Church traditions also have very different ways of using it. It's a Christian thing, having a wreath with four candles and lighting one each Sunday. Now many churches would have 3 purple candles and 1 pink candle. And a lot of the traditions have different meanings for who they are remembering when they light those purple candles and that pink candle. My home tradition has always been to have 4 red candles. And
is that the kind of Norwegian Adventskrans tradition? Or is that...
Yeah, that's exactly what you would have had in Norway. We always had red, 4 red candles, exactly the same. That's
just the way. And then a central white.
We didn't necessarily have that in our home. The central white one would be the light of Christ.
Yeah.
But as I say, so many churches have different meanings, different symbolism for the candles.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly for us, they would have always been red, and which is what the URC does, actually, the United Reformed Church, which we are part of, have been for some time. Your dad's a minister of the United Reformed Church. And so the candles there in the United Reformed Church, I've written these out because I don't always remember one. Candle 1, first week, is to remember the patriarchs. For example, Abraham, Sarah, Joshua. So that was last Sunday. Candle 2 coming up tomorrow would be to remember the prophets. Candle 3 would be to remember John the Baptist, baptizing Jesus. And candle 4 would be Mary, the mother of Jesus. So it's kind of putting in context the whole story of the birth of Christ, you know, and as we work our way through each week, we're focusing on that little part of the story.
Yeah.
And then on Christmas Day in our family, we put the big white chunky one in the middle, and that's very special. That's the light of Christ. And in terms of the actual, there's also a lot of symbol around the greenery that's involved, because obviously it's always traditionally been an evergreen wreath. The fact that it's circular is symbolic of the eternity of Christ. You know, there's no beginning, there's no end. It's just a full circle. The greenery is, again, it's continuous life. So, and we always look for evergreen. And that's just been part of the tradition. It's also a practical thing. They last longer. If you start bringing in fresh things, it's just not going to last. So fir, you know, the pine, the yew, all of that, that green stuff symbolises immortality. Laurel is an interesting one. We actually have some laurel in the garden. And that symbolises the end of persecution. And then a lot of people put little berries, pine cones, nuts, acorns, little fruits and things. And they all symbolise resurrection, new life. So you've got, you know, moving on into Jesus's life. And, you know, it's not the end when he dies. And then holly. I've actually got quite a bit of holly I've found, which is symbolic of the crown of thorns, very spiky, and the blood. So there's a lot going on there, just visually. It's very pleasing as a Christmas decoration. It's traditional. It's green and red, which for me are the colours of Christmas. But there is a lot going on symbolically as a Christian as well, which is what makes it something that we do celebrate in churches well. It's not just a cosy thing. It's not just decorative. I'm going to have a slurp of coffee.
Go for it. So let's... you're going to show me how you make this.
So...
This Adventskrans.
Adventskrans.
That's a German word, isn't it?
Adventskrans.
Also a Norwegian.
Also Norwegian. They have them in Germany, all over Scandinavia. So we start with a metal coat hanger that has been bent into a circle, and obviously the hook bit that you would use to hang is just folded around. So that's a good sturdy piece of wire that I'm going to start building. We always use moss, which I Gather in the Woods. Now, this is interesting because obviously it's full of creepy crawlies. You know, you've taken it off. It's a living thing. You've taken it off stones. This has actually been sitting out in the outside shed for a couple of weeks. So it's damp, it's moist, it's full of little creepy crawlies. But hopefully a lot of those will have crept away by now.
Or more.
But, you know, you can't be too squeamish. You can't be too squeamish about that. So we're going to get...
Flipping it. Look how much moss you've got.
Yeah, I've got a lot of moss.
And this is the second Advent Krantz, because you said, it's the second Sunday of Advent tomorrow. So you've already made one.
I've already made one, and I wouldn't normally make two, but I'm going to do one this year for the door as well, because it's been quite a year with the pandemic and everything. So I just think we need...
Just kind of surrounding the metal ring with moss at this point.
So I've got sort of clumps. Again, it's not very neat. I've got clumps of moss that are very moist.
You can smell it.
Yeah, it smells like a forest. Very earthy. So I could do with your help there, Samuel. If you could... I've just got some green garden twine.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to obviously get started before you start wrapping this moss around. So if you tie... tie a little thing there.
Okay.
And then we just start wrapping and we build up... Oh, that was my tummy. Build up this reef to form a good sort of solid structure.
Sure.
I mean, a florist would probably use an oasis or something.
An oasis? What's an oasis?
An oasis is this thing florists use, you know, the green...
Oh, I see. Yeah, the kind of
sturdy green thing.
Right.
So, but I don't use an oasis. I just watched my mum doing this for all of my childhood, and it just works. And it's free. You know, I've gathered all this stuff in the woods. As long as you do it carefully. I mean, you don't want to be stripping whole areas of moss. But it grows back pretty quickly, and if you take a bit here and a bit there, I don't think anyone is going to get too upset. Obviously, probably not in a National Trust wood, because I know they're not keen on people taking anything by way of flowers or... But this was just lovely collecting. I went to the local woods on my own with a bag, and it wasn't a very nice day actually. It was quite wet and grey, but the birds were there and happily chirping away, and I was gathering my moss, and there were squirrels, and it's a nice part of the process. Gets you out on a walk. So
did your mum always create this the week before that first Sunday of Advent?
She did.
Yeah.
She did, and she was always very... And as us kids, you know, I've got a sister. Hi there, if you're listening, Vinna. And we would go out on a walk, gather the bits and pieces. I mean, usually the other bits and pieces you need can be found in the garden, some greenery, but if not... it's all about going out on a walk, bringing it home. That's the scrunching of the garden twine. Right, you can see I need a lot of moss.
Yeah. So while you're doing this, maybe you could talk a little bit more about kind of Norwegian traditions at Christmas, because there's quite a few, aren't there, that maybe would surprise some of the non-Norwegian or non-Scandinavian listeners.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've talked about I hope I haven't got any soil on your mic there.
That's all right.
I've talked about the tree being placed slap bang in the middle of the room, with Norwegian flags draped over it. Very, very proud people, the Norwegians. Very proud of their country, proud of their traditions. Another very unusual thing, which does take place over all of Scandinavia and Germany, I believe, is that Christmas, as in the birth of Christ, is celebrated on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to have 3 days of Christmas, really. Sorry, it's a bit uneven here. Lots of soil. You see, that's a really nice bit of soil there. That's straight from the forest.
Come on.
So Christmas Eve is really where it's at. And when I was growing up, there was a lot of activity by my parents getting the room ready. The Christmas tree always went in the front room of the house, the lounge. And for many days leading up to Christmas Eve, we weren't allowed into that room. It went up very late, probably about the 20th, 21st, 22nd. And they would decorate it, just the two of them. And we, us little girls, were not allowed in to see it until after the big Christmas lunch on Christmas Eve, when it was getting dark. So we would have our Christmas lunch.
You must have snuck in and taken a peek.
No,
really?
We never have done that. We were so well behaved. So
the first time you see the Christmas tree all lit up is Christmas Eve, sort of evening.
This is what we did with you know, very young children. Back in the 60s, early 70s, this is how it was done. Again, I don't know genuinely whether that still happens in Norway. I suspect it probably does for very small children, not for older children, obviously. So we would have our Christmas meal, which for us, because we were a bit sort of half and half, really, obviously Dad was English and Mum was Norwegian, so we had to keep some British traditions going, but we did eat it on Christmas Eve. So at lunchtime on Christmas Eve, we'd have our big turkey dinner. If we were living in Norway, we probably would have had ribbe, which is kind of, the closest would be pork belly.
Mm.
A long, long time ago, it would have been a boar's head, a pig's head, but people today would have sort of pork belly, red currant sauce, lots of lovely potatoes and vegetables. But as I say, we had turkey and all the trimmings, Christmas Eve lunchtime, and then we would sort of clear up, listen to the carols from Kings at 3 on Radio 4.
Classic.
Again, very, very much part of our home tradition, but also very, very British, that bit. And then, of course, it's dark, isn't it? About 4 o'clock around Christmas. So then we would just have a cup of tea and some little small cakes, which I can talk about later, that my mum would have made. And we would be taken in to see the tree for the first time. And oh my goodness, that was just the best. So we had real candles attached to the branches.
And that's what I just find.
So again, Germans also do this now.
That's so dangerous.
Yeah. It seems incredibly dangerous. You couldn't leave the room. I mean, you couldn't.
Right.
You always had to make sure there was an adult in the room. But Dad would have gone in, and so there were little clasp things attached to the branches with a tall candle, you know, an 8-inch candle burning quite closely to the branches above. But it was just magical.
It was just magical.
That was in the very early days. And then, of course, the presents were there under the tree, and it was all just ready for us. And we would sit and make a long evening of it, you know, open our presents with the candles burning. And that was beautiful. Christmas Day was a lot more chilled, really, for us. We would go to church. We lived in a little village, not that far from here, actually, funny enough. And we would get up and go to the morning service, go to church, and then we had some Polish friends, actually, so we always used to pop in on them on the way back from church and have a little drink and a mince pie and take them a little something, and they would give us girls a little something. And then Christmas Day Christmas Day lunch would have been sort of pretty much what we would have here for Boxing Day. You know, cold. Bits of turkey, bits of ham, bits of cheese. You know, very, very easy for mum. And then just relaxing, enjoying our presents. And then Boxing Day is almost kind of, well, yes, it's still Christmas, but Christmas has been and gone. It's yet another day of relaxing. So, yeah, very, very different.
Yeah,
different. All comes a day earlier. I had suggested that we might do that here, but people don't seem terribly keen on the idea. But again, it's all about this light and making it so magical with the candles and the tree lit and, you know, the light.
Yeah.
And having it on Christmas Eve. We didn't have the candles forever because, of course, you know, Mum and Dad discovered that you can buy pretty coloured fairy lights, which were a lot safer.
Were there ever any accidents? Did the tree ever catch fire?
I do remember my dad kind of hopping up quite quickly and frantically blowing out a candle as it got too close. But, yeah, pretty dangerous, as you can imagine. But we had some friends in Cambridge, actually, where the mother was German, and they still do that. They still put real candles on the tree, and it's absolutely beautiful. But you do have to watch them. So this moss thing is coming along now. You can see, can't you?
It's looking great.
I'm just wrapping this string around it to build it up. And what was the other thing I was going to come back to? Oh, the cakes. Yes. Again, it's not very Norwegian to have a big Christmas cake. I can remember my mum for weeks and weeks and weeks before Christmas, she would be making traditional Norwegian cakes. And our favourites were something called syrup snips, which is basically gingerbread. Little cookies shaped, you know, stars, hearts, all that sort of thing. Very crisp, yummy syrup snips, gingerbread. And she'd also do things called sannötter and bostabelbakken, which are all this, you know, it's just a huge range of little cake.
Bostabelbakken. I haven't said that right, but I remember when, you know, we went to visit Granny and Grandpa, she would do those sometimes. Mm. They were delicious.
They are delicious. So she had big tins in the kitchen, all stacked up, one on top of the other, with these lovely cookies and cakes, and they would all be eaten throughout the Christmas season. But she did, of course, I mean, she had lots of work because she did the English Christmas cake as well, but that whole dried fruit, cake and pudding, that's very British. So we kind of had the best of both worlds, really. We had a Norwegian and an English Christmas,
kind of
all rolled into one. The other thing to say about the Norwegian Christmas is that there isn't really a focus on Father Christmas. It's all about the Nisser, and the Nisser are the little people. Little, tiny, bearded, red-hatted, kind of...
Gnomes,
really.
Elves?
Yeah, the closest we would have would be gnomes.
Wow.
They are like, you know, some people have in their gardens little ceramic gnomes. They're sort of like that. Very, very small. And they are the ones who are busy delivering the presents, blah, blah, blah. So there was never a focus on this idea of Father Christmas flying around with his sledge and delivering parcels to everybody in Norway overnight. It was all about the Nisser.
The Nisser. A sort of team of deliverers.
A little team of hard-working helpers.
Yeah.
And, yeah, do you remember that song, O Jul med en glede?
Yes.
Or Barney
Elise? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Again, all about Nisser.
That's about the Nisser.
Lover sitter, Nissen, Nissen, Julegröt. So very, very different in that sense.
Okay, now if this was a TV show at this point, I would slap in a nice montage of Mum just finishing off the wreath, putting all the different things into it, leaves. She'll do a better job of explaining what she actually did in a moment. I was really impressed. I just sort of sat there and held some string and didn't really do much, but I was really amazed by how quickly it all came together. So imagine this this montage, and let's fast forward 30 minutes into the future as Mum is just coming to an end of the process.
Okay. Final bit of holly. Right.
There it is.
There it is.
Looks amazing.
Okay. So we've added a bit of everything there that I had collected. We've got some yew, we've got some fir, we've even got some rosemary actually, because it smells nice and it's a pale green. We've got some ivy with the lovely berries, and we've got quite a bit of holly and berries, and we've got some laurel. So there we are. It just needs the candle holders now and the four red candles.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing this with me and with the listeners. Appreciate that. Thank you to the listeners for tuning into this episode. Many thanks to Johnny Davies for creating the theme music, and to Thomas Thorogood for the jingles. If you've enjoyed this podcast, one way that you can support it is by clicking the link in the description, and you can buy me a coffee, which is just a fun little way of showing your appreciation for this pod. Do you want to wish the listeners Merry Christmas in maybe in Norwegian, seeing as that's been the kind of the focus today?
Very happy, that would be my pleasure. All right, well, thanks for listening, everyone, and god jul og godt nyttår.
Nice. All right. See you in 2 weeks' time for the Christmas special. Bye-bye.